October 25. Daily readings. 2 Chronicles 21 and 22. Daniel 3. Acts 1. First reading. 2 Chronicles 22. Concerning Athaliah. G.V. Grocott writes, "The influence of a woman over a man may be tremendous, either for good or evil. It is a power that is unique. Applied in the right direction, it can work wonders of transformation, and the quiet operation of this power for good may be many a woman's crown of salvation. But it is a two-edged sword, and Athaliah portrays the other edge. How important, then, is marriage only in the Lord?" Second reading, Daniel 3. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a story we all know well. Who does not know how those three Hebrews were cast into the fiery furnace and came out alive? Familiarity with the story of the fiery furnace is one of two major obstacles which prevents us from benefiting from this passage as we should. We are told automobile accidents often happen close to home. Because we are so familiar with the area, we pay less attention. In the same way, familiar passages of Scripture may receive less of our attention. Christians, and many others, know the stories of David and Goliath, Samson, and Delilah, and Jonah and the whale. We may fail to grasp the meaning and message they were intended to convey, because of a superficial understanding of the characters and events. A second barrier is our mentally filing the story of these three Hebrews under the category of fairy tale or myth. Some commentators candidly admit, even advocate, that this story is merely a myth, and not history. They, at least, are conscious of their perspective on this passage. But many of us have heard this story so often in Sunday school that we may have lumped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Cinderella, Hansel, and Gretel, and Goldilocks and the Three Bears. We must see this event as history, not fairy tale. We must feel the heat of that fire and smell the smoke of that ancient furnace. By Robert Deffenbaugh. "But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Picture the scene. On a huge plain, Nebuchadnezzar had set up a huge statue of gold 27 meters high. This great image was imposed upon the landscape so that people from miles around could see it. Then the people were gathered into the plain and told to fall down before that image when they heard the music. As the music began, the mass of standing people on the plain would suddenly fall down to the ground, leaving three men still standing in the midst of the crowd. With all the people down around their knees, these three would have stood out like great trees in a pasture, or like ship's masts on a smooth sea. What courage to stand apart in a situation like that! It might have seemed to them like a good compromise, at that point, simply to have fallen down with the rest of the people, whilst telling themselves that they were not really worshipping the image. But God does not want compromises. He wants all of us. With God it is all or nothing. These young men gave their all to God and were prepared to give their lives for Him. Let us not compromise a stand with God, but rather take a stand for Him and Him alone. The absence of reference to Daniel here raises questions. Was he away on government business? Was he occupied with pressing matters? Or was he ill and unable to attend the ceremony? Did he enjoy such an exalted position or such favor with the king that his Chaldeans dared not accuse him? The writer did not explain this mystery. It was the response of Daniel's three Hebrew friends that he wanted to stress. It seems safe to assume that, if Daniel had been present, he would have responded as his three friends did. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." His question, asked only moments before, "What God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" is now answered by the king who asked it. Nebuchadnezzar blessed the God of his three Hebrews as the God who had delivered them from death. He praised them for their faithfulness in obeying their God, even unto death. Significantly, the king praised his men for their exclusive worship of their God. Unlike the rest, they were not willing to serve any other God in addition to the one God they worshipped and served. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any God except their own God. They have and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. This seems to be echoed in Romans 12 verse 1. "I urge you, brothers, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." The example of the three friends should be our example when we are confronted with trials and temptations to cause us to compromise our faith. Such action as they manifested was a living sacrifice, by contrast to the sacrifices under the law of Moses, which were usually dead animals. And here, even before the great idol of the Babylonian king, the young Jews could offer themselves as the ultimate sacrifice to their faith. It is fascinating, then, to note that even the very presence of the false god was holy ground, because it was witness to a holy sacrifice.